Hello, and welcome to episode 96 of Bardic Quest. Thoric and Johan now find themselves face to face with ghoulish creatures. The last time Johan faced such creatures, he barely escaped with his life. Is history doomed to repeat itself, or will Thoric's divine powers be enough to protect them both from this monstrous new threat? So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of Bardic Quest. Alright.
17 for the dwarf.
17 for the dwarf, you say?
Aye.
So, in which case then, it's going to go thusly. It'll start with Thoric. Then it'll go to these vile creatures, followed by you, Johan.
Thought it might be.
Indeed. So let's see now. So Thoric, you are pretty much at the mouth of this tunnel now. Just kind of, just maybe 5 or 10 feet into the chamber. There are four of these creatures above you, which, for the record, the ledges themselves are 10 feet high above you, and these creatures are looking down on you from above. What would you like to do?
Is there any way up to the ledge?
The staircase, yes, but that staircase is, well, you'd have to dash to get up the ledge, let's put it that way.
Okay, so, but equally, they'd have to do the same to get down to me safely unless they pitch themselves over the ledge.
Indeed.
Cool. In which case, I'm just going to rest a hand reassuringly on Johan's shoulder and just be like, don't worry. Let's funnel them towards us. Let them come to us. I will... Not Guiding Bolt. That's maybe a bit overkill for this moment. I will extend a hand towards the closest one.
Yep.
And in a twisting action, there's like kind of silvery flame that erupts around my hand. And in the same moment, sacred flame bursts into life on the closest creature.
Nice.
So okay. I need to make a DC... something, dex save, a DC 13 dex save.
A DC 13 dex save, you say?
Aye.
All right. So you fire off this sacred flame, and it fails the dex save.
Lovely. So it's going to be taking 1d8 of radiant damage. So that does 7 points of radiant damage, and the target gains no benefit from cover for the saving throw. If that made any difference at all. So 7 points of radiant damage.
Okay, lovely. Would you like to describe your sacred flame as it impacts this creature?
Yeah, so it's kind of like he twists his fist, and it kind of actually just coalesces, and in the same motion, it like wraps itself around the... around the creature and kind of engulfs it in this silver flame.
Nice. Beautiful. Anything else you'd like to do?
No, actually. Thoric would just like to stay where he is and, like, just keep a defensive position. Is there any way we can kind of sort of just keep ourselves with our backs to the corridor so they can't like surround us, so they kind of have to come at us maybe even one or two at a time.
What do you mean exactly?
Well,
they're on the ledge to your right above you in this large chamber.
Assuming they're going to come towards us, the tunnel that we came down,
yes.
Is there any way we can kind of like, if we back towards that, would that funnel them towards us so they can't like surround us, basically, is what I'm saying.
Oh, you kind of want to retreat back into the tunnel to bottleneck them a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, like not completely, just sort of so they can't just, you know, go.
Sure. The tunnel is about 10 foot wide.
Okay.
So you could fit in side by side if you wanted to.
Okay, and we could potentially then just have them come at us one at a time each.
In theory.
In theory. Theory is a wonderful thing.
Indeed.
Thoric will do that. He will just back in slightly.
How far back do you want to go then in that case?
Literally just to the mouth of it, really. Just so it's... He's got the edge of the wall on either side of him, so they can't immediately get around him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So literally, like, if you were to look at the tunnel, then you would be right in the entryway. There's no
basically.
Space between you and the mouth of the tunnel.
Yeah, basically.
All right. Okay, cool. All right. Lovely. Johan is maybe about 5 or 10 feet in front of you then at that point. As he's now partly in the chamber, only a few steps in, and you're at the mouth of the tunnel. And that's your go?
Yep, that's me. Thank you.
All right. So now it's going to be these foul creatures. The one that you hit with your sacred flame, Thoric, is going to leap from the ledge down to the ground. So he's going to need to make an acrobatics check. And these creatures aren't the most dexterous. And it is going to drop, and you're going to hear a crack as it hits the ground, as it's going to take 5 bludgeoning damage.
Falling damage.
And it kind of hobbles and kind of continues to run towards you, Johan. And it is going to raise its kind of black claws at you. Again, you're kind of having flashbacks to that fateful night as it swings its claw towards you. For a 17 against your armor class. Is that going to hit?
Yep.
Okay. So you are going to take, therefore... 7 slashing damage.
Leave my rogue alone.
I also need you to make a constitution saving throw, please.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to take this on the old Zendibiant. That's a dirty 20.
All right. That's good. So you feel for a moment as it strikes against your arm as you kind of get your Gladys now, because you don't have your sword. Raise Gladys to try and defend yourself. And it strikes your forearm. And you feel that scratch almost go numb for a very brief moment before it returns to normal, and you kind of have pins and needles sensation at the ends of your fingers. So that is the first of these creatures.
Oh, it's just one. It's like a third of my health, man.
Of 4.
I knew I wasted all my high rolls.
The second one is going to join his friend in leaping down off the ledge. You're also going to hear a crack from him as he lands, almost like twisting his ankle briefly, as it hobbles towards you. It's only going to take 1 point of damage, though, from that fall, as it's going to charge once again towards you, Johan. You are, again, having severe flashbacks to that fateful night as it swings its claw at you. Again, for a 17 against your armor class.
No way.
This time for... Oh, luckily only 2 slashing damage this time.
Yay.
But I am going to need you to make another constitution saving throw, please.
Come on, Dendibian. That's a 7.
The scratch, like before, goes numb. And this time, the numbness doesn't fade. And you feel your muscles spasm and go very rigid as you are now paralyzed for 1 minute. However,
or my whole self.
Your whole body is now paralyzed.
What, Petrificus Totalis kind of style? Or...
Very much so. But without the comedy fall.
Right.
You can repeat your saving throw at the end of each of your turns, ending it if you succeed.
Okay. So I'm immobilized, effectively.
You are paralyzed, which mechanically speaking means that you are now incapacitated, meaning you can't take actions or reactions. You automatically save strength and dexterity saving throws. Attack rolls against you have advantage, and any attack that hits you is a critical hit if the attacker was within 5 feet of you.
Crud.
Being paralyzed really sucks. But you do get to save at the end of each of your turns.
Yeah. Okay.
However, there are still 2 more of these creatures to come.
Yay. Let's have it. I'll take him. I did it before, I'll do it again.
So, the
you
first one...
You will not kill me yet! You're all, like, through great teeth, you know? As aggressive as you can be when you can't.
The next one leaps down. This time you don't hear a crack as it lands on the ground. And it is going to charge towards you. Thoric, this is looking quite terrifying even from your presence, because they are just going gung-ho at this point for... hang on. Okay, yeah. So it is going to go for Johan, who is now paralyzed, which means that this creature is going to be attacking with advantage now. However, rather than slashing at you with his claws, it opens its fanged mouth, the black tar dribbling down its chin, as it's going to try and take a bite out of you.
Oh, great. Ew.
For 20 against your armor class.
I'll do it.
Did you say it's an instant crit?
Yep.
This is terrifying.
For 14. Piercing damage.
I'm down. Yep, I'm down. I presumably just take a big kind of chunk Shaun of the Dead style, and I'm just there or just kind of slink into a kind of just kind of stupor, and then I just kind of collapse to the ground. And my torch just kind of rolls out of my hand, and Gladys just kind of embeds itself in the rock.
This rematch for Johan against these creatures, if indeed they are even the same ones, they might be completely different ones, but certainly against...
Oh my god, are they the same?
Certainly against this creature type. This rematch is so far not going so well for Johan.
Still got my drying blood in his teeth.
There is one more of these creatures. And he's going to leap down from the ledge. And you're going to hear a crack as it drops to the ground. However, it is much further away than from the others, and so would have to dash to get even next to you, Johan, which it is going to do, as you are now surrounded by four of these creatures. As you lie dying at their feet, it is now your go. What would you like to do? Well, in fact, there's only one thing you can do.
Yeah.
Which is a death save, please.
That's right.
So could you roll a d20? You need 10 or more to pass.
Attempt number one. That's a 7.
Oh, that's one failed death save for you out of 3. As you are lying there, consciousness slipping away from you, would you like to describe a memory from Johan's life that flashes before his eyes?
I have flashes of the tavern where Thoric and Sergei and Saga met with Gundren for the first time. And although I wasn't there, I knew they were inside. I may have even been kind of lurking amongst the crowd. Johan, even. And also, the many, like, freeing, you know, just getting rid of the red brands and the death of, well, the defeat of Glassstaff. Like, but one in particular is thinking back on his last, on the last time he saw Nastriana in his dream and talked about how the dark forces are coming and how it all might come to an end, and this is the end he feels like she was talking about.
Okay.
That he failed, basically.
Thoric, we're at the top of the round. You're up. Johan is dying in front of you, only about 10 feet ahead of you. All four of these creatures are now only within about 10 feet or so of you. What would you like to do?
Thoric feels shock, and he just thinks it's just utterly grotesque the way these creatures have thrown themselves down this pit and are literally just like falling on Johan like animals, worse than animals in fact, and he feels this deep burning guilt and shame at leaving his friend's side, that he's left him exposed and that Johan has now dropped. And then that shame kind of, that burning guilt sort of turns into rage, and Thoric closes his eyes and his knuckles go white as he's holding onto his shield and his hammer. And when he opens them again, they burn silver, and the white streaks through his black hair ignite and go white as I use Turn Undead. And my eyes are just like this beacon, and I say, "Go back to the shadow, you wretches!" And they all need to make a DC 13 wisdom save or be turned.
All right.
Nice.
A DC 13 wisdom save.
Aye. If they're undead, which I assume they are.
They are indeed.
Cool.
And all four of them fail.
Ooh.
Amazing. So they are all turned for a minute, or until they take any damage.
Mm-hmm.
A turned creature must spend its turn trying to move as far away from me as it can. It can't willingly move to a space within 30 feet of me. It can't take reactions. For its action, it can only use the dash to try and escape from the effect. And it can't come in within 30 feet of me.
Okay.
So that is my action. I am going to... I'm going to deliberately just, like, run to them.
Okay. Well, they're turned now, so...
Yep. And I'm going to pick up Johan.
Right.
If that's possible. So if they're 10 feet away from me, I've used 10 feet of movement.
Uh-huh.
And then I can carry a willing creature half the rest of my speed, if my memory serves me.
Ooh, this is a rare one that comes up. Let me have a look.
I can move half my speed.
I think you might be right.
So I'd have 15 feet left of movement, so I can move like 7.5. I'm wearing the boots of spring and striding, so my speed is now 30.
Oh, yes, you are. Hey. I forgot you had those. That's right.
So did I.
Well, I mean, I can't find the rules for now, but let's go with that. So half your movement to drag or carry him.
I'm going to carry him. I'm literally just going to scoop him up. I'm going to sheathe my hammer, throw my shield over my back, pick up Johan.
You watch these creatures cower as you approach, almost as though pure light is radiating from you, which is causing them to flinch as you get closer to Johan. And...
I'm gonna run past them, because they can't take reactions, they can't
correct
attack of opportunity me, so I'm going to run past them and I'm gonna head towards the stairs
up the ledge.
Yep, so we can progress.
Okay, all right. How with your boots of striding and leaping and various other things and cartwheels and gamboling. What's your speed now?
My speed is 30, so I can move another 10.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Your speed, your walking speed is high. Your speed isn't reduced if you are encumbered or wearing heavy armor. You can jump 3 times the normal distance, and you can't jump farther than your remaining movement will allow. I won't jump. I don't know whether...
I'm just going to say, in terms of jumping, your jumping distance is usually equal to your strength score in feet. So, what's your strength score?
3.
Your strength or 16. Score? 16.
Or 16.
So, you can jump... Is it 3 times?
Yeah.
So because of those boots, you could actually leap onto that ledge.
Oh, we're doing that.
With Johan.
We're doing that. We're doing that. I literally just like scoop him up and just like just leap. I feel Thoric doesn't really like height, so he's like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And he just doesn't really know what he's doing, but just out of pure adrenaline, he's leapt to the top of it. His feet kind of like scrabble the edge and he sort of leans back and is like, no, 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 no.
Fantastic.
And I'm gone. As soon as I'm able to do so, I'm truly gone. Hoping that these things can't follow me.
All right. You watch. So this turning of the undead lasts for like a minute, right? Okay, so you are on top of this ledge. You look back briefly as you watch these creatures start to run down this tunnel that you came down, headed into the darkness and out of sight from where you are. For the moment, at least, I will take us out of initiative now. Because they're fleeing away from you, they're turned. They don't get to repeat the save on being turned, do they? Oh, you are muted, Isaac.
Hello, sorry, double amateur mistake today. They're turned for a minute until they take damage and I'm not going to attack them.
Sure, all right. So they're fleeing from you. for at least the next minute. So you might have to act quickly, potentially. But for now, at the very least, we will come out of initiative as you are on top of this ledge with Johan now unconscious. Now, because that is going to be the end of their turn, I am still going to ask you to make a death saving throw, Johan, to begin with, because this is over a matter of seconds, and then Thoric can react accordingly.
Here we go. That's a 13.
So that's a pass on that second death save. So at the moment, you are still dying. You're not stable, because you're not stable until you get three successes. But for the moment, you are still dying, but not... You're no closer to death than you were 6 seconds ago. Thoric, what would you like to do? Would you like me to describe what you can see to start with, or do you want to deal with Johan?
Well, immediately, as I'm carrying him, as the... It's just touch. I just rest my hands over his eyes and just start whispering. And as I sort of, like... just draw my hand up, I cast Spare the Dying and stabilize Johan.
Okay. Would you like to describe what your Spare the Dying looks like?
It's just like the most subtle kind of illumination from within Johan. It doesn't... His wound that was oozing with this kind of black ichor from this thing's mouth, it seems to like purge that out of his system, and then his wound isn't healed, but it stops bleeding. He kind of chokes and kind of splutters as this kind of glow from within his body and this kind of almost mist of silver comes out of him as he coughs and then starts to breathe a little bit more easily. And just while he's unconscious, I'm holding him and I'm just like, hold on, Johan, hold on. Hold on. Please describe what I can see.
So, Johan, just to explain mechanically, Spare the Dying means you're now stable, which means you don't need to make any more death saves. You're still unconscious, but you are not dying right now.
There was much rejoicing.
So, from what you can see up here... there is this ledge, which the ledge itself is probably about at its widest points. You're kind of in the middle of it at the moment. At its widest points, about 50 foot wide as you're looking from the top of the stairs, and about 30 foot deep. Again, this is not a man-made room, so it's very jagged walls, cavern walls. But equally, you can also see... a small table on top of this ledge. Rather unexciting as tables go. It's just a table. But you can also see, again, if you're looking from the top of the stairs to your left, you can see a tunnel that leads from where you are. You're 60 feet on your dark vision, right?
Yep.
You can see a tunnel... again, 10 foot wide, that you can just make out opens up into a larger chamber beyond. I should also point out, from where you were before, there is also the other side of this large cavern that was beyond your darkness. Yep. And your dark vision as well. Cool. As potential routes.
Kind of in a panic, Thoric will extinguish his light and he will just run down the corridor to his left.
Okay.
I'm trying to find somewhere that I can like secure, he's trying to find a room with a door that he can shut behind him and tend to Johan, because he's panicking, he's by himself, and that was just awful what happened, and he just feels completely out of his depth.
Okay. So, you charge down this tunnel to your left, really trying to make as much distance, essentially, as you can from the creatures that fled, that you turned. This opens up into a very large chamber, but unlike the one you've just been in, despite its size, this one appears to be unnatural in its structure. You can see a large blast furnace in the middle of this chamber with mechanical bellows powered by what looks to be a water wheel that dominates the center of this large chamber. Could I actually get a stealth check from you, please?
Sure. 8.
So, this furnace that is in the center of the room looks very cold and dark, certainly not lit. There are heaps of coal all piled up nearby, along with carts full of unrefined ore. This water wheel that you can see sits in a 10-foot wide channel cut into the floor, but given the fact that the water wheel doesn't seem to be moving, you assume that that channel is long dry. You can make out from where you are, because this chamber extends well beyond your dark vision, but you can make out to your right, probably about 20 or so feet from where you are, a tunnel that leads to the right, as I said, again 10 foot wide, out of this chamber.
I sprint towards it. I'm just heading towards where this seems like too big a room to try and find any sort of cover, so he just sprints that direction.
Something else in this room.
Oh.
More, you can see more than a dozen withered corpses scattered around the room. You can tell that these are slain dwarves and orcs still wearing the remnants of their armor. But more than anything else, the thing that grabs your attention the most is something floating above them, which looks to be a skull engulfed in green flames. It has not seen you, despite how rushed you are being, but it is almost looks as though it is on patrol around this room.
Catching his breath and just sort of coming up short, Thoric, as stealthily as he possibly can, starts to head towards the door. Head toward the tunnel to his right, and has something up his sleeve if it seems that it might be starting to turn towards him.
Could I get an additional stealth check from you, please?
It's a good thing it's not a disadvantage. Oh, wait, it is.
Go on, Thoric.
Thoric, you step forward with Johan in your arms, still unconscious, trying to be as slow and steady as you can be, and quiet as you can be. And just as you're making your way steadily across to the tunnel opposite from you, your foot presses down on a loose stone which cracks under your boot. The flaming skull turns on its axis, its glowing orange eyes flickering as it stares at you, and you hear an icy voice call out to you, saying,
"You shall not cross here."
as it begins to hurtle towards you, summoning up various of these dwarf corpses rising to their feet, dragging themselves forward, a dim pallid light glowing within their fogged eyes, maggots peeking through holes in the grey-green flesh as they squelch towards you, bones clicking and clattering with each uneasy step. And that is where we shall end this episode. Which I'm worried for you, I'm not gonna lie.
If any of our audience members would like to send us magic items, you can do so by calling the number below. Call 07554 help. That's 07544 help.
So that's it for another exciting episode of Bardic Quest. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Before we go, I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you to a couple of folks. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to James Webster for providing us with and allowing us to use this beautiful animated artwork that features throughout the show. If you are a fan of his work and want to show your support to him, then head on over to patreon.com/JamesRPGArt, where you can become a patron of his. But also, I'd like to say a big thank you to our friends over at Sirenscape for allowing us to use their wonderful ambience, music, and sound effects. So if you'd like to introduce those sounds to your table, head on over to sirenscape.com to check out their amazing work. So that's it from us this week, and we will catch you next time.